I want to read a special passage of Scripture, actually only four verses, from Daniel chapter 12, before we call the children up for a children's message. The first four verses, it dovetails with tonight's message and tonight's passage, but four verses from Daniel chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Concerning life at the end of days. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. This last phrase, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Or, to translate it just a little bit different, many will go here and there, and knowledge will be increased. We switch passages now to the book of Revelation, Revelation 20, reading verses 11 through 15. Our text tonight comes from verses 11 and 12. And this again is in conjunction with our study of Belgic Confession, Article 37. But first we read this passage from Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Heaven and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades, another word for hell, the grave, gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. With that in mind, would you turn with me to Belgic Confession, Article 37. We're on page 90. This is actually the fourth message that is in front of us in the light of this article. And we read the first two paragraphs before. We want to flip around now to page 90. The second part of that paragraph that flips through the page. So starting at the top of page 90, the second line, I'm going to break into that paragraph. Then the books, that is to say, the consciences, shall be opened, and the dead judged according to what they shall have done in this world, whether it be good or evil. Nay, all men shall give account of every idle word they have spoken, which the world only counts amusement and jest. And then the secrets and hypocrisy of men shall be disclosed and laid open before all. Dear friends and fellow Christians, I learned in the course of the past 2 weeks a couple little facts that I had not known. I understand that down in Bentonville, Arkansas, at the headquarters of Walmart Corporation, that corporation has a whole computer bank so huge, so enormous, it rivals the size of the federal government's. This person who told me this said it was larger than what the federal government has. That computer system is so up to date in real time that it is tied into every store they've got worldwide. So if you go into your local Walmart, and in that local Walmart you buy a certain items, let's say it's Pop-Tarts for the toaster. By the time you walk out of that store, as soon as that transaction has been completed, that data on that register has been fired off to Bentonville, Georgia, Bentonville, Arkansas. If you go to another section of the store and you buy little chair glides to fit underneath your chair's legs so that you don't wreck a carpet or wreck a floor, that is recorded. If you go to his next section of the store, and way over in the sports section, you should buy something as small as a little decal. Say it's a decal of skull and crossbones. They record that. Plus that their camera system, they know when you enter the store, they know the route that you're going to take through the store, they can monitor from those different cameras where all you have been, they know the minute you leave the store, and it's all recorded. Furthermore, managing all of those computers has a whole team of computer guru nerds all working at the task of data mining. Picking through all of those transactions to know what trends are going and what things they need to advance so that they can be the best possible store and advance to their advantage. You like the thought? Or is it scary? Mind you, that's only one corporation. Mind you, you and I are involved now in a world where everything seems to be monitored, and you are being watched and videotaped and whatnot all, no matter where you go, but then put it in the perspective of your God. If you think it is scary to have people watching you, then what do you think it is in terms of God watching? That every single moment, He watches absolutely everything that every human being is doing. Furthermore, He is not only watching what they're doing, He is watching what they're saying, they're watching what they're thinking, He's watching the motives of the heart, He's monitoring absolutely everything. And according to this passage and other passages in Scripture, everything you ever do is being recorded in the books up in heaven. Do you find it scary? Or do you find that fabulously comforting because you know your God in Christ? Two parts to the text tonight. First, events that are going to take place in your life. It is not a matter of if. It's only a matter of when. Event one, when you stand before the throne. Event two, when your book is opened. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. This is going to be the first time in planet Earth when human beings are going to see the heavens ripped apart, the sky opened up, and every human being on planet Earth is going to be able to look up and see the face of the one who sits upon that great white throne. Text adds, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. So what's going to happen in a day? For all of those who are non-Christians, for all of those who now think he's just a joke or think he's a figment of religious people's imagination, when they see him, heaven and earth, heaven, sky and earth, and everybody in it is going to flee away if they are not in Christ. Have you ever witnessed that in the animal world? You know, I've spent some days in factories. Those earlier years. Do you know what happens at the backside of the factory? The backside of the warehouse, when that section of the warehouse has been ignored for years, even, especially if a business is not going too well and that junk is accumulating in the backside of the warehouse, and then finally, through different scenarios and different reasons, they decide that they're going to clean up that warehouse, and then a team of workers works at that clutter in the back warehouse, this machine and that machine and this pallet and that pallet and these old boxes and those old boxes. And as the team works together, taking away those old pallets and some of those that have sat there for 5 or 10 years, and when they finally get towards the narrowing and they notice that there's all these unwanted guests in the warehouse, then as they lift up one pallet after another and the forklift takes it away, then those guests in the warehouse have to congregate under the last of the pallets. And when the last of the pallets come up by the forklifts, the rats just scatter. Ugly sight, isn't it? Or as I witnessed also 42 years ago this summer, our honeymoon year, that summer, between junior and senior year of college at Trinity, brother-in-law succeeded in putting my name in to the hiring crew in U.S. Steel Corporation, downtown Chicago. Well, not downtown. Between 79th and 95th streets, between the slums and the lakeshore, a mile and a half stretch there, owned by U.S. Steel Corporation. Ugly old buildings as they're pounding out sheet steel. Some of those sheets 10 feet wide and 40 feet long. But also that area of Chicago next to sewage treatment centers and next to the slums, I saw, well, when those huge overhead cranes would come along and pick up some of those last sheets of steel as they were laying on those 4x4s and deliver them to the trucks or to the railroad cars. Sometimes when those last sheets of steel would come up, there were such hideous looking gigantic cockroaches from the Chicago sewer system underneath those sheet steels. And as soon as it comes up, they scatter every which way. And we who were just college hire-ons for the summer had jump away and make sure they didn't go up the pants legs. Yeah, that too happened. 'Twas not comfortable. But it's only a cockroach. When heaven and earth shall open up and everyone who has ever lived sees that great Lord of yours on that great white throne, that will be their reaction. And they will call, hills fall on us and mountains cover us, and no hill and no mountain will obey them. And then verse 12 adds, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. What a fabulous package in a few short words. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Think of that with me. All the great who have ever lived on planet Earth standing before the throne. Adam and Eve, Noah, Mrs. Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph and Pharaoh, Samuel and David, Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah and Daniel, Peter and John, Julius Caesar, and King Herod, Judas Iscariot and Caiaphas, Ivan the Terrible and Abraham Lincoln, Napoleon and Winston Churchill, Saddam Hussein and Omar Gaddafi, the movie stars, but without their jewels and palaces, the sports heroes, but without their trophies, the politicians, but without their clothing and their accolades, the generals, but without their armaments and their clout, the world rulers who think they are so great, but they're no more important in the eyes of God than you or me. And the small of planet Earth also will be there. The beggar had tonight found his supper behind a restaurant in a dumpster. The welfare recipient that lives on food stamps. The bartender had for 15 years worked down at Joe's Bar and Grill. The mentally challenged adult that never got out of the institution. The high school student that never made graduation. The 9-year-old that never hit his 10th birthday. The little boy or girl that never went to preschool. The little child that gave its parents so much joy for 9 months and then was born still. The little infant whose name was known to no one but God. They shall all appear before that throne. But you and me too. For the scene that is described here precedes the Lord dividing the sheep from the goats. So everyone shall appear before that throne. Everyone who has ever lived, everyone who is living, everyone who shall live shall appear before the throne. Try to calculate that, what that shall be. That scene, try to calculate it. If they have a massive rally in Washington, D.C., and if 1 million folks all go to Washington, D.C. and stand between the White House and the Lincoln Memorial on that big grass that stretches around that pond for a mile, think of what the news media makes of that. Well, if it's a certain kind of group, they make a lot of noise about it. That's peanuts compared to what this is describing. If before his throne the Lord gives to each one a 2-foot square slab of the pavement of heaven to stand on before his throne, what does it calculate as? Do the math. It's easy with these modern calculators to figure it out. If in all of life's existence on planet Earth there was only a mere 12 billion, calculate it out, what would it be? That would mean that if each one was given 2 square feet on which to stand, the total would be 734,000 square acres. Translates 1,147 square miles of people. Oh, in that day, the joy to be in Christ. Oh, in that day, the horror to be out of Christ. Something else you're going to face, and that is, straight from this text, the opening of your book. I saw the dead standing, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. What does it mean? Books were opened. They're writing a book on your life. Oh, in a meeting, like a township board meeting, in a city hall meeting, in a council meeting, it is required that there always be someone appointed to be clerk. And in a city hall meeting, if the dialogue is going back and forth and forth and back, and they're talking, the clerk has to be there at the ready when the decision is made, has to record that minute. If it was motioned, if it was supported, and if it was passed, or if it failed. So if there's 23 minutes of discussion, and then comes the decision, the clerk only has to record the decision. He can ignore the 22 minutes that went before. If you write in a diary, I don't know how many of you do that. You can go through all the details of a day, and at the end of the day, you write in a diary what? If it's a boring day, one little paragraph. All the rest you ignore. Not this book. In the case of the life of Abraham Lincoln, they wrote a biography on his life, right? The day he was born, all the way to the day he died, only 65 years. Hey, if I'm given that much, I got 3 more to go. 65 years, and it all fits in 2 volumes. But if in heaven, as it were, the clerk is always at the duty, and everything is being recorded in the book, that means that by the time that heavenly angel reads off from the pages of your book, remember, we're never going to run out of time because there's plenty of time. Remember, nobody's going to be getting antsy and itchy because they want to get onto their volume when they're listening to your volume. The vast majority of those who will be before the throne aren't going to want to hear what's in their volume at all. And so by the time you get to page 1,363, you're at your 13th year. Whoa. And so by the time the clerk reads your page 5,577, you're at your 39th year. Whoa. Everything is recorded in the books. Well, that's what it says here, right? Oh, but cross-reference that. Because this Belgic Confession does a beautiful thing here. What does it say? Then the books, that is to say, the consciences shall be opened. The consciences shall be opened. Oh, modern neurological researchers are discovering that of the brain, of the human brain, never mind, they say you only use 10%. What do you think the other 90% is for? You think the Lord just put it up there as spare warehouse? No, no, no. The Lord never makes any mistakes. Furthermore, modern research in that neurological field of the mind has discovered that if they put somebody into hypnosis and they ask that person in hypnosis to turn back the pages of their life all the way to their first days, that person in hypnosis will be able to tell experiences that they experienced when they were yet an infant in their mama's arms. Then the books, that is to say, the consciences, shall be opened, and the dead judged according to what they have done in this world, whether it be good or evil. Oh, there's some Christians that want to say, wait. I don't want to be included in that. That must be only for the pagans. Read your Bible. The dead were judged according to what was written, done and recorded in the books. Verse 13, the dead were judged according to what he had done. Read your Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. I've had some Christians even tell me, this isn't in the Bible. There it is. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or whether bad. Everyone stands before the throne. Everyone has the books opened. What does it say? Nay, all men shall give an account of every idle word that they have spoken. Matthew 12, verse 36. Every gosh darn, every gee whiz, every shucks, or rats, or raspberries, it's all there. Which the world only counts amusement and jest. Isn't it shameful sometimes? Don't know if you ever do channel surfing. You come to some of these comedy shows. I stopped the spin of the channel surfing on one this past week. Some comedian was out in front of a gigantic audience, about five times the size of this or greater, and he was telling jokes about human underwear. And the audience was laughing until the tears were streaming down their faces. Oh, but this says, when they stand before the king, all of those funny things will not be funny at all. They'll blush at the very thought of the next page having to be turned. And that paragraph says, then the secrets and the hypocrisy of men shall be disclosed and laid open before all. Remember, this is before he divides the sheep from the goats. Then if you are a Christian, the life of Christ will be evidenced in your life and it will show up in the books. Jesus says that. If you are a Christian, it will be evidenced in your life and it will show up in your books. For as the Lord Jesus himself says, at that day, after he's inspected the books, and after he has divided the sheep from the goats, he will say to those who are on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came. It all shows up in the books. But what about the mistakes? And what about the failures? And what about those days that you're so ashamed of? You don't even want to remember the day on the calendar. Or what about what happened Monday, February the 6th, 2012? What about the mistakes you did that day? They'll show up also in the books. But also in the books, they will show up at the end of that day, recorded, paid for in the blood of Christ. And Tuesday sins, all those that you did in the course of that day, how shall they show up? Paid for in the blood of Christ. And Wednesday, paid for in the blood of Christ. As if he signs every page on your book with the red ink of his pardoning blood. And yesterday's, and today's, and tomorrow's, all paid for in the blood of Christ. No wonder you will need all eternity to thank him. And what does he say? You are faithful to him. You are loyal to him. You serve him to your dying breath. You claim him in Christ. And he says, Revelation chapter 3, I will never blot your name out of the book of life. What a fabulous sight it shall be to see the heavens open up and the throne, the great white throne, and him who sits on it. What a fabulous experience it shall be to see those billions and billions and billions of people gathered around his throne, and you who love him know what's coming, and those who hate him know what's coming. What a fabulous experience when they shall open your book, even if it is as big as an encyclopedia, and page after page after page, along with your sin, is recorded, paid for in the blood of Christ. What a fabulous experience to hear the king say, well done, good and faithful servant. What a fabulous experience to hear the king say, you invited me into your heart. I invite you now to abide with me in my home forever. Oh, on that day to be in Christ. What a fabulous joy. Oh, on that day to not be in Christ. What an indescribable hell. So often, O Lord, we cannot find the words to begin to thank you adequately. We cannot find the words to fathom what you've done for us in Christ. We ask, Lord, that you prepare us for that heavenly homegoing. And prepare, Lord, our place in your house of many mansions. Grant as well that while we've got life here on planet Earth, we might do everything in our power to talk to others. But grant especially, Lord, that your Spirit would be mightily at work in our land, in our world, and even among those that, like rats, love to play in the darkness. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.